title of this article is Sensing Enabled Deep Brain Stimulation in Epilepsy. This study was led by Jimmy C. Yang from the Ohio State University College of Medicine, with Robert E. Gross from Emory University as senior author. It was published in Neurosurgery Clinics of North America in 2024. This was a collaborative effort between the Ohio State University and Emory University. This paper examines the emerging clinical application of deep brain stimulation devices that can simultaneously monitor brain activity in patients with drug-resistant epilepsy, addressing a critical gap in optimizing this therapeutic approach. Patients with drug-resistant epilepsy who are not candidates for surgical resection or ablation, neuromodulation has emerged as a vital treatment option. The landmark SANT trial in 2010 demonstrated that deep brain stimulation of the anterior nucleus of the thalamus, or ANT, effectively reduces seizure frequency in these challenging cases. Following this success, the FDA approved ANT-DBS for drug-resistant focal onset epilepsy in 2018. SANT trials showed that patients receiving active stimulation experienced a median 40.4% decrease in seizure frequency, compared to only 14.5% in controls, with long-term follow-up revealing sustained benefits at 7 years. For widespread clinical implementation has revealed significant limitations. Patient reports of seizure frequency are notoriously unreliable, creating challenges for clinicians trying to optimize treatment. Additionally, there has been uncertainty about whether brain networks actually change in response to stimulation and whether objective biomarkers could track seizure activity more accurately. Recent introduction of sensing-enabled DBS devices that can monitor local field potentials at the electrode site offers potential solutions to these problems, though clinical experience remains largely exploratory and anecdotal. Primary objective of this study was to review the current state of sensing-enabled deep brain stimulation technology in epilepsy management. The authors aim to examine the neurophysiological rationale for ANT stimulation, describe the technical capabilities and limitations of current sensing devices, and provide clinical insights from their institutional experience. They specifically sought to evaluate whether local field potential monitoring could serve as an objective biomarker for seizure activity and treatment response. Moving to the methods, this is a narrative review and clinical case series rather than a controlled study. The authors provide a comprehensive literature review of ANT-DBS mechanisms and sensing technology, combined with observational data from their clinical experience at Emory University. Review synthesizes evidence from multiple study types, including the original SANTE randomized controlled trial, stereoelectroencephalography studies examining ANT connectivity, and early reports using investigational and commercial sensing devices. Their institutional experience component, the authors describe their clinical protocol using the Medtronic Percept system, which was commercially introduced in 2020. This device can monitor local field potentials across pairs of two contacts using bipolar referencing, allowing sensing during monopolar stimulation. The system includes features for live streaming of LFP activity and can store power spectra data when patients mark seizure events. Clinical approach involves using preoperative imaging to identify the optimal contact closest to the junction of the ANT and Memloth-Lamp tract for stimulation. The sensing contacts are positioned surrounding the stimulating contact. Sensing is activated at implantation, prior to stimulation initiation, typically monitoring the default 8 to 12 Hz frequency band based on prior Medtronic data. During follow-up visits, clinicians can stream interrectal recordings to identify patient-specific frequency bands and review continuously tracked narrowband power data. Authors present observational data from their patient cohort, though specific sample sizes and demographic details are not provided. They focus on analyzing the correlation between device-measured narrowband power and clinical seizure frequency outcomes. Their assessment includes both successful and unsuccessful cases of using LFP monitoring to track treatment response. Regarding the literature review component, the authors examine the neurophysiological basis for ANT involvement in epilepsy networks. The ANT's role is understood primarily through its location within the circuit of PAPES and its extensive connections to epileptic networks. SEEG studies have demonstrated that seizure activity can be detected at the ANT, with different onset patterns depending on the seizure focus. Studies show immediate ANT involvement at seizure onset, while others demonstrate delayed recruitment, regardless of whether the seizure originates from temporal or extratemporal regions. Moving on to the results, the authors present a mixed picture of success with sensing technology in clinical practice. Their institutional experience reveals variable outcomes in identifying associations between percept tract narrowband power and clinical improvement. In some patients, they observe clear correlations between clinical benefit and narrowband power changes, with decreased power accompanying reduced seizure frequency. Provide specific examples, including one patient who experienced a 70% reduction in seizure frequency, with corresponding visible decreases in device average narrowband power at 9.77 Hz. However, this correlation was not consistent across all patients. They describe cases where patients experienced significant clinical improvement, including one with 50% seizure reduction, but showed no meaningful changes in tracked frequency band power. This inconsistency represents a major limitation in the current clinical utility of the technology. Authors identify several technical and methodological limitations that explain these inconsistent results. First, the monitoring frequency band is initially selected arbitrarily, typically using the default 8 to 12 Hz range, which may not be appropriate for the heterogeneous nature of epilepsy. Optimal frequency band likely varies both within individual patients across different seizure types and between patients depending on epilepsy characteristics and underlying pathology. And the parameters used for chronic LFP monitoring, including temporal averaging windows and bandwidth settings, cannot be independently adjusted or configured on current devices. Third, the identification of patient-specific frequency bands relies on visual inspection of power spectra displayed on clinician tablets without statistical analysis, which may be misleading. Fourth, current strategies for mitigating artifacts from stimulation, patient movement, and cardiac activity remain limited. Authors emphasize a fundamental limitation in the current approach, noting that seizures involve complex changes across multiple frequency bands throughout their evolution. Tracking oscillatory power in a single narrow frequency band may not provide reliable or generalizable indicators of seizure activity. It suggests that non-oscillatory components of the LANC LFP activity, such as the 1/f slope of power spectra, represent alternative features worth exploring, though these cannot be continuously tracked by current percept devices. In the broader literature, the results show that sensing technology in epilepsy remains in early stages. Initial investigational studies using the Medtronic Activa RC plus S system in 4 subjects with temporal lobe epilepsy demonstrated the feasibility of recording from ANT and hippocampal sites, but these studies were not designed to determine correlations between LFP changes and clinical outcomes. More recent single-case reports have shown that sensing devices can detect unique seizure signatures at specific frequencies and that LFP power may decrease with clinical improvement, but the evidence remains anecdotal. Authors' discussion emphasizes that while the concept of sensing-enabled DBS is promising, significant challenges remain in translating this technology into reliable clinical practice. They interpret their mixed results as reflecting the complexity of epilepsy as a network disorder and the limitations of current monitoring approaches. The heterogeneous nature of epilepsy means that a one-size-fits-all approach to frequency monitoring is unlikely to succeed. Contextualize their findings within the broader understanding of ANT's role in epilepsy networks. The ANT's position in the circuit of Papez and its connections to both temporal and extratemporal seizure foci make it an attractive target for both stimulation and monitoring. However, the complex, time-varying nature of seizure activity across multiple frequency bands suggests that more sophisticated analytical approaches will be needed beyond simple narrowband power tracking. Critical appraisal of internal validity, this work has several important limitations. As a narrative review combined with observational case series, it lacks the methodological rigor of controlled studies. The institutional experience component provides no information about patient selection criteria, sample sizes, or systematic outcome measurement protocols. Assessment of treatment response appears to rely primarily on patient-reported seizure frequency, which the authors themselves acknowledge is unreliable. There is no blinding of clinicians interpreting LFP data or assessing clinical outcomes, introducing potential bias. Analysis methods for LFP data interpretation are not standardized or validated. The authors acknowledge relying on visual inspection of power spectra without statistical analysis, which is methodologically problematic. The correlation between LFP changes and clinical outcomes is assessed qualitatively rather than through rigorous statistical methods. Additionally, there are no control groups or systematic comparison of outcomes between patients with and without LFP guide management. Further, the work does have methodological strengths, including its comprehensive literature review and honest assessment of current limitations. The authors appropriately acknowledge the preliminary nature of their findings and avoid overstating conclusions. Their institutional experience, while limited, provides valuable real-world insights into the practical challenges of implementing this technology. Regarding external validity, the generalizability of these findings faces several challenges. The patient population characteristics are not clearly described, making it difficult to assess how representative they are of the broader epilepsy population eligible for ANT DBS. The institutional experience comes from a single high-volume academic medical center with specific expertise in epilepsy surgery and neuromodulation, which may not reflect outcomes in other settings. Technology itself is relatively new and evolving rapidly. The Medtronic percept system used in this study may not represent the final state of sensing-enabled DBS technology. Future device iterations may address some of the current limitations in parameter adjustment and artifact management. Additionally, the optimal approaches for LFP analysis and interpretation are still being developed, suggesting that current negative or mixed results may not predict future performance. Heterogeneous nature of drug-resistant epilepsy also limits generalizability. Patients with different seizure types, epilepsy syndromes, and underlying pathologies may respond differently to both DBS therapy and LFP monitoring approaches. The author's experience may not apply broadly across all epilepsy populations, and later, more diverse patient cohorts will be needed to establish generalizable principles. Looking toward implications and future directions, this work highlights both the promise and current limitations of sensing-enabled DBS in epilepsy. While the technology does not yet provide reliable clinical utility for most patients, it represents an important step toward more personalized and objective management of epilepsy. Future research should focus on developing more sophisticated analytical approaches that can capture the complex, multi-frequency nature of seizure activity, rather than relying on single narrowband monitoring. Development of machine learning approaches to identify patient-specific biomarkers from LFP data represents a promising direction. Additionally, investigation of non-oscillatory LFP features, such as the 1/f slope mentioned by the authors, may provide more robust indicators of seizure activity and treatment response. Future studies should also focus on developing validated protocols for LFP-guided DBS programming and establishing the clinical utility of sensing technology through properly controlled trials. The ultimate goal of truly closed-loop DBS systems that can automatically adjust therapy based on detected brain activity remains an important target for future development. However, this work demonstrates that significant technological and analytical advances will be needed before such systems become clinically viable. Now, to how this paper has been received in the field. Paper, Sensing-Enabled Deep Brain Stimulation in Epilepsy, by Jimmy C. Yang, Andrei Yang, and Robert E. Gross, published in January 2024 in Neurosurgery Clinics of North America, is a short review article with limited reception data available as of early 2026. 1-2-3, Semantic Scholar reports just one citation. Having a slow initial trajectory, typical for a recent review rather than an original study. 2. No evidence appears of key papers building directly upon it, replications, or formal replication attempts, likely due to its recency and focus on clinical experience with sensing-enabled devices in drug-resistant epilepsy patients. 3. The work contributes to the neuromodulation field by discussing local field potential monitoring around deep brain stimulation leads. highlighting limitations of current clinical devices compared to investigational ones, and calling for novel biomarkers to link neural activity changes to seizure reduction. 3. It situates within broader epilepsy treatments like responsive neurostimulation, where dynamic sensing improves outcomes over time. 5. Retractions, corrections, expressions of concern, peer comments, or post-publication debates are evident in available sources, suggesting an absence of controversy. 1, 2, 3. The field's view appears routine, as the paper is referenced neutrally in clinical overviews of epilepsy surgery options without a claim or criticism. 5. Current consensus positions, sensing-enabled deep brain stimulation is promising yet underdeveloped for epilepsy, especially versus its established use in Parkinson's disease, with ongoing needs for validated biomarkers to guide therapy. 3. Overall, the paper provides practical insights into device constraints, but has not yet shaped major discourse in epilepsy neuromodulation. In summary, this review provides a comprehensive overview of sensing-enabled deep brain stimulation in epilepsy, revealing both promising potential and significant current limitations. While some patients show correlations between LFP changes and clinical improvement, the technology does not yet provide reliable biomarkers for seizure activity or treatment response. Heterogeneous nature of epilepsy, combined with limitations in current monitoring approaches and analytical methods, prevents consistent clinical utility. Nevertheless, this represents an important foundation for future development of more sophisticated, personalized approaches to epilepsy neuromodulation that could ultimately improve outcomes for patients with this challenging condition.